This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Good day, Vic. How are you?
Good day, Kath. I'm very well, thank you. And good to talk to you. How are you?
Always good to speak to you. And thank you just so much for keeping us updated on what's happening with the Jewish community in Australia. Any updates on the Malka Leifer case?
Yes, indeed. And this is finally the decision and the action which so many people have been waiting for and for so long, is that finally Israel's justice minister has now officially signed the extradition order for Malka Leifer to be extradited back to Australia, back to Melbourne, to face 74 charges of child sexual abuse. This happened last Tuesday night when her lawyers lost their final appeal against the ruling that she be returned to Australia. As people, anyone who's been following this case, and even those who haven't, would be aware, there have been 74 court cases, 74 hearings, since the process began to try and have her extradited back to Australia since she fled this country over a decade ago to face those charges. 74 hearings to face 74 charges. Quite a remarkable coincidence of numbers there. And there are now 60 days. Israel has 60 days in which legally to put her on a plane back to Australia. An interesting little twist which has just happened in recent days is that her lawyer says that she will, if she is convicted here in Australia, she will seek to serve a sentence in Israel. Now, obviously, that's a matter for, first of all, the trial that's to happen here in Melbourne. And if she's found guilty, then that's the lawyer saying that she will try to do to get to serve in Israel. And obviously, that's a matter which the Australian legal system will obviously, you know, have an opinion about. So obviously, for those who are the alleged victims, this is a matter of enormous relief and enormous stress and strain going back a decade. And as one of her alleged victims has said just a couple of days ago, it's no longer about if, it's only about when.
That is the strangest comment from her lawyer. You know, if I was representing somebody, if I was somebody's lawyer, I would not even entertain the idea that they might be guilty. I mean, so for him to say, well, if she's found guilty, she'll serve. I mean, he's already planning where she's going to be serving her sentence.
It's a very interesting point that you make. Exactly right. Because, it's an interesting point. So,
bizarre.
That certainly came out of the blue. And so that's where we are. And various Australian legal authorities, the Australian Attorney General, Foreign Minister, and others have all come out saying that obviously these are very serious allegations. It's long overdue, and it's very important that the case now proceed to be heard here in Australia. And then the other twist, which obviously will have just a very brief hearing on the matter, is that when she does get there within the 60 days, obviously, as in the current situation, she will have to serve 14 days lockdown as to the COVID-19 requirements for any people coming into the country at this time. But that's obviously just a little minor issue which will have to be dealt with as well when she eventually does get here.
Yeah, with the emphasis on lock, Vic. It's taken 10 years to get the woman back to Australia, just to keep it under lock and key. Vic, do you think that as a global Jewish community, we have an issue because we don't hold people accountable?
Well, when you talk about we, are you talking about...
I'm saying the Jewish community.
Are you talking about?
No, I'm saying the Jewish community. If there's allegations of sexual abuse or whatever, I think Most small communities probably is probably the same, but we have a way of kind of sweeping it under the carpet and not really bringing it out. I think it was the Royal Commission that really broke a lot of stories in Australia. I mean, we haven't had such a thing here, but there are organizations that are, you know, that hold people accountable.
You raise an interesting point, and I think two issues flow from what you just said. One is that we have seen over many years, over decades, that Israel has been too receptive a venue for people, for Jewish people from different countries around the world,
yeah,
including from South Africa, as I recall, and
yes,
as we have seen now, for people who have allegations against them, being able to flee to Israel and find refuge there and not have to face justice or the alleged case hearings back in the countries from which they came. And we have seen that many, many times from many countries, including the country where you are sitting and the country where I am now sitting.
Sure.
And that certainly has been the case. And this has been and the particular case we're talking about now, it has just been beyond farcical. As you said a few moments ago, 74 hearings to get to this point. Not saying she's guilty, of course, without the trial, but 74 hearings to get to this point made a mockery of Israel's so highly vaunted judicial system.
Yeah.
And it just really brought it into disrepute. And you should not have a situation where a country like Australia, one of Israel's strongest friends on the planet, where its leadership, its attorney generals and foreign ministers and prime ministers were compelled to speak out, saying essentially what's going on, why isn't this person coming to face justice in Australia? So that really just produced damage Israel's standing as a fiercely independent judiciary. The other point that from what you just said is that in terms of community sweeping issues under the carpet, overwhelmingly in Australia here, the Jewish community has overwhelmingly responded as it should. In other words, saying this person needs to come back to face justice here in Australia. And it was the tiny community which she has been a leader of, or principal of, that the just community in Melbourne, which essentially helped to get out of the country, etc., so that to evade being brought to justice here in Australia. And so overwhelmingly, the Jewish leadership, the president across the board, have come out repeatedly and strongly and publicly saying that this is a travesty of justice and she does need to face justice here in Australia. So it certainly hasn't been the case that the community, the organized community, has just run the carpet. In fact, they've come out very strongly on the side of that there needs to be a very public and legal hearing.
Yeah. Look, somebody put her on a plane 10 years ago. Somebody took the decision to, you know, get her out of Australia in a very, very short span of time. I think it was nobody knew about it. She was on a plane and she was gone before anybody knew that she had gone. Somebody helped her do that. And that's the point. But I hear what you're saying. And I think that maybe Israel needs to look at putting together better extradition arrangements, agreements, and processes, because ultimately, if every Jewish pedophile, crook, whatever, you know, whoever it is, whatever people are being accused of, from all the different communities in the world are fleeing to Israel to, you know, to escape prosecution, then Israel's going to have a problem. They're going to have a very, very high rate of fraudsters and, you know, I think that they need to look at doing that. We're the people who represent justice.
I agree with what just in addition to which, it has the potential to deny the pursuit of justice to alleged victims around the world, and it reflects very poorly on Israel's moral stance.
Yeah.
That it shouldn't be a home for people who are fleeing justice.
Yeah, exactly.
And so for all those number of reasons on various levels, I fully agree with you. Israel does have to look at the system which allows it open doors to Jewish people to be abused in this way.
100%. Got to protect Israeli kids as well. All right, Vic, let's move on. A story that I found absolutely fascinating, considering the history of Polish Jews, that, but you know, I'm going to let you give us the background. So tell us about this Australian daughter of Holocaust survivors, but maybe give us a background to, you know, properties owned by Polish Jews during the reign of the Nazis.
So this has been obviously a very big issue for so many people, and just very to take a step backwards for a second, is that a big percentage of the Jewish community in Melbourne has its origins in Poland, whereas a large percentage of the Jewish community in Sydney has a very strong Hungarian heritage and Hungarian background.
Yeah.
And obviously with a strong former South African presence in both places. But if you're talking Holocaust days and going back, you know, 70, 80, 90 years, and Poland, Melbourne, Hungary and Sydney is a very strong characteristic. And obviously Eastern Europe, Russia in both places. So there's a doctor who lives in Melbourne, her name is Dr. Anne Village. She's been here for a long time. Her family came from a place called Tarnow in Poland. And November 1941, this doctor, herself, parents, grandparents, other relations were rounded up by the Nazis, put into a ghetto in Tarnow, where her parents perished, grandfather died, other relations died, etc., all in 1942. She came out here in right after the war, and this is now her daughter, who has been campaigning to try and get the family's property restored to her as the property which they just summarily lost when everything happened. And the complicating factor was that communist authorities took control of properties in the 1980s, and tussles between those who were claiming the property, people living in Poland as well, as they had no right to be doing so. And finally, after after 11 years of legal battle in the Polish court, in the Polish Supreme Court of all places, finally the court has ruled that the property actually does belong to her. And so now, just to add to the whole nutty pudding, is that she's also claiming approximately $1 million, or just short of that, for compensation the use of the land, which has been happening, you know, by others for all of this time.
Wow.
So it's a very strong precedent, and no doubt others who have also lost property during that terrible period will be looking at this with great interest and wondering if there's a precedent that they can actually now leverage for themselves.
No, 100%. 100%. I mean, we've heard so many stories of, you know, Holocaust survivors who went back to their towns after the Holocaust and after the war to try and reclaim their homes. And they were chased away.
And even worse, where, you know, there have been cases where Jewish people have in fact been murdered by others who have taken possession of properties which were rightfully theirs, you know, all those years ago, etc. And people have literally physically moved into Jewish-owned property and just been horrified to find that the Jewish people actually survived, which, you know, was not part of their plans at all.
Yeah. Vic Aladef, that is where we leave it. And I will speak to you next week, please, God. God willing.
hopefully. And here's wishing everybody a COVID-safe 2021.
Thank you so much. Yes. Do you have any resolutions? Could it be to maybe survive 2021? Let's just leave it at that.
for everyone to embrace 2021 in a healthier, happier place than 2020 has has insisted on the world.
Vic Allardyce, thank you so much, and just enjoy the rest of the week. God bless. Bye-bye. That's Vic Allardyce. He is the CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, and updating us on what's happening in Australia. So with the alleged paedophile Malka Leifer, she's going to be extradited to Australia to go and face those 74 charges.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.